Isaiah chapter 1, sorry, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. I may read it in New King James, but it's on the screen in that version. And I read the odd number of verses, and you all read the even number of verses. Excuse me. We're going to, like I said, read the first 10 verses, and really for our study, I don't want to say the punchline, but the last two verses, 9 and 10, tie into our prophesied here and fulfilled in our passage in Matthew 13. So, if we're ready here, we're like, we're waiting. So, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple.
Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew.
And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke.
So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts."
And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar.
And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged."
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me."
And he said, "Go and tell his people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive.
Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed."
Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. We just pray that you would rightly divide it, Lord, and that you would speak a special word from your word to each of us, Lord, that we may grow closer to you. So we do ask now here and in Sunday school, and as I like to pray around the world, Lord, where your word is being proclaimed today, may you get the glory, and may many, many be fed and taught by you, and many more be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so yes, Isaiah 6, we'll see it's fulfilled here in Matthew 13. We pick up Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea." On the same day, so as you know, the verses and the chapters were added much later after the Bible was compiled, you know. But on the same day, chapter 12, another long chapter, but we were just looking at the time where Jesus was battling with the Pharisees. They were saying that he did a miracle by the power of Satan, and he was telling them that they were really on thin ice with the Lord, speaking of the Holy Spirit that way, and on, you know, just the back and forth between Jesus and the Pharisees. So we're going to read through this parable here, and we'll make some more comments, and we'll use our worksheet here. But on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood at the shore. I got to pause there, because that was a pattern back then. The rabbi would sit and the students would stand. So what I want you to do right now is, I'm just kidding. We're only going to go 38 minutes if you feel like, no, and that's the picture you see here. He's on a boat, no doubt, because he's already been thronged by the crowds by this point. So he gets in one of the fishing boats just far enough out, and then the multitude's on the shore, and he's going to share this parable. And it's verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then here's an important statement. This is kind of the focus of our study today. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then a little bit more here. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? So number one on your sheet, a parable is a story that is told to illustrate a truth, right? It's a story to illustrate a truth. And it says here on our worksheet, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So that's why Jesus spoke in parables. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he uses parables. He refers to us as salt and light. So we're not literal salt or literal light bulbs, but it's a metaphor, right? But now he's really going to, you know, get into doing a lot of his teachings. In fact, it says in Mark that he didn't teach anything to the multitudes anymore without a parable, and we're going to explain why here as we go on. So let's look at verses 11 through 13. So they ask him, why are you speaking to them, to the multitude, in these parables? And he answered verse 11 and said to them, because it has been given to you, the disciples, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. The Luke version says, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. Therefore, verse 13, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So the answer to the question number two in our worksheet, Jesus used parables for two reasons. Number one, to reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it, right? And number two, to conceal the truth from those who didn't really care. Amen? So, ears to hear, what does that mean? You know, I often say to my wife, so I have a hearing, I have hearing aids. And yes, I'm getting older, but I've had these I've needed them since my 30s because I'm a special person. I'm in the 99th, I don't know how you say it, but I'm part of 1% of people in the US that have otosclerosis. Anyone ever heard of otosclerosis or otosclerosis? Come on, just checking. We have some medical people in the room, different species though, but we have two veterinarians in the room here. Anyway, it has to do with the bones of the ear. It wasn't the loud music. Yes, I've been to concerts and nerve damage, but you know the bones in the ear, like when you went to school, the hammer and the stirrup and the anvil? So the stirrup is really called the stapes. And anyway, otosclerosis is when those bones calcify and they don't vibrate like they should. So I've had a stapendectomy or a stapenotomy on both my ears where they broke out the stapes and put a prosthesis in there. And on my left ear back in 2002, that really helped. So in 2014, I had my right ear done, and that didn't, they said it worked, but it didn't really help. So thus hearing aids. So, and here's the marriage challenge that you have here. You got a deaf guy with a soft-spoken wife. And so there, yeah, can I get a witness? Yes, I'm guilty of selective listening sometimes, but truly I just couldn't hear. And there's even other people among you know who you are, who I just can't hear the tone, you know. That's why one reason, yeah, I really, go ahead and say it, huh? Yeah, anyway. I look forward to Matthew coming back. I have no trouble hearing him, you know. So, but the point is, what's your point? That even now, I'll come up from working out downstairs or whatever, and Lori will start talking. I say, just a second, let me put my ears on. So I do have ears to hear. I have regular ears, but then I have these are really what help me hear. So obviously, we know that Jesus, and we'll get to that. Let's just read verses 14 and 15. What is he really getting at when he says ears to hear? And we talked about already those who want to know the truth and those who don't. But it goes a little further. Verse 14, and in them, he goes on, speaking of the hard-hearted, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. This is what we read together, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And the Mark version of this passage says, so that their sins may be forgiven them. So very important. You read it in Isaiah, and the way it reads what we just read together, it almost sounds like Isaiah, God's just doing it just like a meanie, but he's not. It's like the famous saying, you know, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. And the gospel is the gospel. It's the good news. It comes with some pretty bad news at first, right? But that just enhances the good news, right? When you hear the whole gospel. And so the heart, the issue is the heart is the point. That's number three on our sheet. To have, quote, ears to hear simply means to have a heart that wants to learn and wants to change. Amen? Jeremiah 29:13, I have that on your sheet. The Lord says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, right? With all your heart. It's are we earnest about it, right? I got 1 Peter, well, even jumping to on your sheet there, number three, Matthew 13:15. We just read that. It talks about the heart two times, right? That says, for their hearts, the hearts of this people have grown dull. And then it says they don't understand with their hearts and they don't turn. They don't repent because of that. And then I have 1 Peter 2:2. I should put 2:2 and 3, but that's the verse that talks about like babes, you know, crave the pure milk of the word. And it goes on to say there in 1 Peter, if indeed you have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. And that's the idea. We've tasted and seen. The Bible, did you know the Bible still has a lot of hard verses in it that are to understand, or not only to apply, but to understand? We're going through Exodus on Wednesday nights. We're watching another teacher, and then we just discussed together afterwards. And we were in Exodus, was it 21, where it's the law gets all spelled out. And there's some stuff in there that's hard to understand, fully understand. But I like what we're watching John Corson again on Wednesday nights. And I like what he said a few weeks back. He said, you know, and just generalizing humans, even Christians sometimes, we think we're going to judge the Bible. We're going to go through this and figure it all out. But the Bible judges us, you know, and there are things that are hard to understand, but we have tasted, those of us that are his have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and that the Lord is gracious. And so like Peter, when he heard a hard teaching about eat my flesh and drink my blood, and other disciples just left Jesus, he turns to the 12 and says, are you going to leave too? And Peter says, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life, right? And that's all of us that know him. And that's the thing about God. I mean, I could go on, but I won't. But I will say this. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but Richard Dawkins, anyone heard of him before? This atheist, and he's very aggressive against Christianity. He's just a lost guy that's a professor. But I don't know if it's still there, but it's a video of him mocking God by quoting in the Old Testament where it says that a man, and it says this in the Bible, that a man went out and picked up sticks during the Sabbath. And so others saw him picking up sticks, so they called Moses, and Moses went to the Lord, and they said, what should we do? And the Lord said he should be put to death. And so this atheist tries to form this in a way, and it sounds harsh, right? He tries to form it in a way that our God is this megalomaniac, and he's and almost like how Allah, how they describe Allah, you know? But if you read the context of the scriptures there, God made it clear what the rules were on the Sabbath, and it was clear that this guy was just being, he was being rebellious. He was doing this to rebel. And so God had to, he just had to, this had to happen. But again, you fast forward to the New Testament, and we know, and God doesn't change. It's progressive revelation that the Sabbath, that man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man, because the Pharisees put this heavy, these heavy burdens on people for this, with the Sabbath. And so, yeah. And so I, and then a pastor that I really glean from, he said, he puts it this way, when God, like he says, it's like a husband call is at work. He calls, he's all happy about something. And he calls his wife and says, don't touch a dish. Don't cook a thing. I'm taking you out tonight. And if the wife was under, you know, that kind of that had that legalistic mindset, she hangs up. Okay, oh, I accidentally touched a dish. Oh no! And so that's not God's heart. You know, that's not His heart. He was deadly serious about the Sabbath, because no other culture ever had the mindset of taking a day off, one day and seven off. So it's God's grace from the beginning, because He rested from His works as a model, not because He's tired, but as a model for us to rest. So that's just one example, but there's so much more, and so to learn in the Bible, and it's just wonderful to learn it as we go, again, because we've tasted and we know the Lord. He's been gracious in our lives. So we got through verse 15. Now we'll read verses 16 and 17. And so he contrasts the hard-hearted, the unbelievers, to the disciples who have chosen to follow him. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So number four on your sheet, ears to hear is a gift from God. It even says, so if you peek back up in verse 11, he answered and said to them, because I speak in parables, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Just God's gift to us. We get saved. It says in John chapter 5, he says, if anyone would, you know, follow me, I don't want to butcher it. I can find it. John chapter 5. But he talks about how we have, currently have eternal life. We won't be we won't be condemned in the future. And it's John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, present tense, everlasting life. He shall not, future tense, come into judgment, and shall, but has passed, in the past, we've passed from death to life. Isn't that a wonderful portion? That's what eternal life is. It isn't just living forever. Everyone's going to exist forever. Sadly, people that don't believe will be in hell forever. But eternal life is being connected to the eternal one. And when you first trusted Jesus, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you became one with the Lord. And he's the eternal one. And our spirits are already redeemed. Our spirits have already been glorified. It's our flesh and our minds that are trying to, you know, catch up with that. And that's the process of sanctification till we are glorified. But ears to hear is a gift. So eternal life is a gift. The Holy Spirit comes in now. He guides us into all truth. And God gives us eternal life, and he gives us the ability to understand the Bible. And we're going to get into this specific parable, because, well, you'll see that Jesus spells out this parable, right, in the following verses. But just peek at verse 18. So he tells them this, and he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. And then he's going to explain it. We're going to pause on that today. But he says, hear the parable of the sower. They could say, well, we already heard it. You just told us. You see what I'm saying here? It's about having ears to hear. It's about understanding what it means. And only the Lord can give us that understanding. So number five on your sheet here, a great way to understand the Bible is to read it. What do you think of that? Is to read it and spend time with Jesus. And then in parentheses, I put, and ask him questions. And I'll give examples of that. But it says, you know, even notice how, look at back at verse 10. And this, he speaks to the multitude. But verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said to him, so they're talking to him personally, why do you speak to them in parables? And he explains. In Mark 4:34, they're alone with him in the house, and he explains all things to them, it says there. And there's lots of examples of that. And I love that. And I've experienced that in a different, I mean, we all have. I don't know. I mean, have you ever read a verse you don't quite understand? And then have you ever, whether it's a month later or 10 years later, just like the light bulb comes on? Isn't that wonderful? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the dividing of soul and spirit, both joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I think that's Hebrews 4:12. So, yeah, that's just the power of God's word. And then just the relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, and by the way, that's why I said in number five, a great way. First, I had something like, the only way, okay, slow it back off of that, because we do learn the Bible by hearing teachers. That's another one for you. Just write down, sorry, I don't think of these enough to have them all written. If Don McClure, this is one of the pastors I like, and he's got this sense of humor. He's all, you got a Bible, look it up yourself. Anyway, Second Timothy 2:2 is where Paul talks about the things you've learned from me, pass on to other men that can teach others. So we learn from teachers, of course, and we get fed that way. And there was another way that I'm blanking right now, but we learn the Bible different ways for sure, but this is a great way in our relationship with God. And I tell people, I don't have a consistent pattern. For years, I was on a pattern with the Proverbs and the Psalms, and I'm trying to get back to that. But well, as a church, we're reading through the Bible one chapter at a time, and we're in Malachi now, so we'll be in Matthew soon. And you guys, we as a church, we're passing up the pace that I'm, you know, we're in chapter 13. So by the time the month's over, anyway, so that's one way, you know, reading the word that way. But then it's spending time with the Lord, you know. And again, none of this is legalistic or to lay a trip on anybody. I think about God's word. I try to. I get hung up in, you know, the flesh isn't just indulgent, but it tries to condemn us just like the devil, you know. So our, you know, John says in 1 John 3, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. So our heart, the old person, the body of death, our sin nature can try to condemn us. And so I'll get that kind of hand-wringing or thing, oh, I'm just not reading enough. I'm not praying enough. I won't ask you to shout out if you ever have thoughts like that. But this relationship with God is based on, he's our Father and we're his children and it's grace. And so what am I getting at here? Like, so I like to think of it as this, like God says, I've got this treasure chest and you're welcome. You know, think if you have a treasure chest or even one for your kids, you know, candy and toys and okay, you got 30 seconds to dig in there or whatever. And just to dig down in there and however much time we want to just dig around, like, or, you know, someone who was very generous to us once said there's plenty more where that came from. And so I try to think of that, like when I'm reading and I'm really blessed by a verse, I just want to hear the Lord say, there's plenty more where that came from, you know? So that's the idea. And the ears to hear, Jesus is interpreting the parables. He's in some of these, right? He's flat out the parable of the sower. He tells exactly what it is. the parable of the wheat and the tares. That's another perfect example. If you want to peek, it's a sneak preview, but I encourage you just to be reading this ahead of time. You know, read Matthew 13 and wherever you want to read, but definitely read where we are in the scripture if you can. But notice here, since we're in chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus, he had already given the parable of the wheat and the tares. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And then he just spells it out. Aren't you glad that they asked him that question? I am. Because now flip over, if you will, to chapter 13. And where it says here, verse 51, because he gives more parables. He doesn't explain them all. And when we get to those, we'll see there's different interpretations of them. And in verse 51, he says to his guys, have you understood these things? And they say to him, yes, Lord. And to that, I want to say, why? Why did you say that? You know, because if they hadn't, I'm joking because God, the Holy Spirit put the word of God together, but they said, yes, Lord, but they didn't understand it all. I doubt if they did. But it wasn't spelled out to us. But anyway, so I think you get the idea. It's a wonderful thing how the Lord, when we do take time to slow down with him, like Psalm 1 says to him, just meditate in his word. And again, I'm not claiming, I don't feel like he speaks this rhema word to me every time. No, I've been a Christian since I was 15 years old. And so much I don't know, but I just love the, when you've tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious and you see that coming from his word. So next week, we'll just pick up with that interpretation and we'll read further on. We'll get further on in this chapter. So Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, thank you and Father that you live in us by the Holy Spirit. Just living inside of us. And we thank you for that relationship. And we pray that you will continue to grow us in the grace and the knowledge of you through your word, by your spirit, and in fellowship with each other, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.